Now, a potential 5.5% rise in England's train fares next year, I should stress potential, has been described by public transport groups as outrageous. It's all calculated thus. July's retail prices index, the RPI measure of inflation, often used to determine train travel and how much fares should go up by, it's going to be announced this Wednesday. Now, the government hasn't confirmed how it will determine the cap in regulated fares for next year. This year's 4.6% hike was 1 percentage point above RPI in July 2024. So that's led one firm to suggest it could be 5.5%. Banking group Investec has forecast this year's RPI figure will be 4.5%, plus one makes 5.5. I think I've got the sums right. One person who can tell me is Bruce Williamson from the pressure group Rail Future. I mean, nothing confirmed yet, but if it were to be 5.5% for regulated fares, what would your reaction be?
Well, I'd be very, very unhappy about that, but sadly resigned to the fact that this is the way it goes. Every year, and it was the same with the previous government, they jack up rail fares more than inflation, you know, deterring people from using a green form of transport. And what is the sort of staggering hypocrisy is that year after year, they can find the money somehow to freeze fuel duty for motorists. They can find the money to cut fuel duty for motorists. If they can afford to do that, they can afford to give the poor old rail passenger a break, I think.
What is the alternative then?
Well, the alternative is quite simply not to jack up rail fares by more than inflation. It is totally in the hands of the government. And it's totally a deliberate policy to continue to squeeze the poor old rail passenger as hard as they can. And it seems that, you know, up until now, they've continued to get away with it because they amazingly haven't yet succeeded in driving people off the railways totally.
And when we talk about regulated fares, I think that's what's covered here. What do we mean?
Well, those are the sort of unavoidable fares, you know, the standard singles and the season tickets. That's the phrase I'm struggling to find. The train operating companies have a lot of flexibility when it comes to things like super advanced, apex, off peak, and the special offers. But it's the simple singles and returns and season tickets that are regulated. And of course, if you have to use the train to travel to work, that's the one that's going to affect you.
Now, the government would say, and in fact it has said, the Transport Secretary has made clear her number one priority is getting the railways back to a place where people can rely on them. And I suppose they would say you have to invest to push this, delivering the services that people deserve.
Yeah, but I mean that's all right. You know, all correct. You know, you get the railway you pay for, and the railway does need investment, and the investment pays off, and investment is obviously very much a good thing. But the government don't make the same equation when it comes to the roads, do they? They don't see we can't build this new motorway until we put the price of petrol up. So why do they use the same argument with the poor old rail passenger? There's just an inconsistency there. And sadly, your rail passenger who has to face the pain in the wallet of having their season ticket, you know, jacked up by above inflation again and again year after year, often don't see the improvement in service that they would expect to get for having paid more for it.
As we talk about this every year, how is the service, is it improving? I mean, there are signs that things aren't as bad as they were, or is that not correct?
I think there are small signs of improvement. You know, the railway has a long, long way to go to get the sort of service that we sort of want and deserve. And what it needs is consistent long-term investment. You know, for decades, you know, even going back to the beginning of British Rail, the poor old railways suffered from an awful lot of feast and famine, and that, you know, that makes it very hard for those who work in the railway to plan investment and you know, fix the holes, really, fix the equivalent of the railway potholes.
I mean, we have to stress that no decisions have yet been made on next year's rail fares, but it is a model, isn't it? And it does seem that it does annually go the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, you know, the jewel in the crown of the government's supposed green policy is to, you know, make the most expensive rail fares in Europe even more expensive. Now, the government has an opportunity here. You know, the government isn't very popular at the moment. Rail fare increases aren't very popular. A freeze on rail fares would be a popular move. Hint, hint. I don't think they're listening.
All right, so whether they are or not, why is it that the prices are above the rest of Europe? What do they do better in limiting their fares?
Quite simply, they recognise the sort of the overall value of having an affordable rail network much more than this government seems to do. You know, the rail is great for investment, it's great for social cohesion, it's great for education, jobs and so on, you know, but the Treasury just tends to look directly at the bottom line and not see the bigger picture. And that's, you know, that's a flaw in the Treasury and in government that is quite a hard one to crack, I think.
And as you stress, it's not just this government. We had the Conservatives in for 14 years.
Indeed, yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, I had hoped that a change of government might lead to a change of heart, but it seems to be the same old story where the poor old rail passenger is the one getting kicked in the wallet every year.
All right, well, we will, we're just speculating largely at the moment, but we will find out, won't we, next week and afterwards how much fares will go up by. But certainly one thing is certainly not going to come down. Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, very good to have you on the programme. Thank you very much indeed for your time.